Good morning. It's good to be with you guys again. It's good to see all these faces here with us this morning. Very grateful for our visitors who are with us this morning. What I want to talk to everybody about is work. Specifically, I want to talk to you about building. God, from the beginning of knowledge, was a worker. He began by creating in Genesis chapter 1, where he made all things. And then in Genesis 2, 1 through 3, we read this. Genesis 2, 1 through 2, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the hosts of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested from all his work that he had done. From the beginning, we see that God builds. In this, we are to be like God. We need to build. God has instructed his people to build many things throughout the history of the world. The Bible records many of these. He told Noah to build an ark in Genesis 6. In Genesis 6 and 14, it says, make yourself an ark of gopher wood. And then again in verse 15 of Genesis 6, this is how you are to make it. And then he goes on and he's very specific concerning the construction. God cared about how it was built. He commanded the construction of the ark to save Noah and his family and to save his people. And in Exodus 25, God commands the construction of the tabernacle and the ark of the covenant. God commands this building so that he can, in Exodus 25:9, we read, dwell in their midst. God is also building his people. During this same period, he's creating Israel and setting it apart as a nation. In 1 Kings 6, God speaks to Solomon about the construction of the temple. Again, here we find him being very specific in dimension and form. We learn from the Old Testament that God is a builder and that he builds and he repairs and he rebuilds and that he does it with his people and for his people, and that he is always building. One of the most famous construction projects of the Old Testament, and one that we're going to talk about some this morning, is the reconstruction of Jerusalem described in the book of Nehemiah. The wall around Jerusalem had fallen into disrepair and was in shambles. Walls were a great benefit in the ancient times, and they allowed for security from raiding and defense from attack. And without the wall, Jerusalem was at the mercy of the none too merciful neighbors. When you think about the society we live in today, the civilization that we live in here in the United States, it's hard to imagine a time where people would just come in massive groups and raid cities, run through the cities and take what they wanted. The easier it was to do, the quicker that you could get in and get out, the more successful you could be. And the walls of those cities were what made all the difference. Having a wall would keep that action from occurring quickly. It would give you a chance to get on your feet and to defend yourself. It would give you a chance to save lives. And to save all the things you'd work for. At the same time that there were those that were in the neighborhood that sought to do them harm, there were also those who sought to fight against the construction of the wall and to kill them while they built it. There were those that didn't want the wall rebuilt. There were those who wanted Jerusalem weak. They wanted to see the wall weak. They wanted to see it with holes. And so these enemies, amongst them the Ammonites and the Ashdodites, these enemies sought to keep the construction from occurring. If you look at chapter 3 of Nehemiah, and I'm not going to read all of chapter 3, but if you, I would encourage you to, on your time, to pull up Nehemiah and look at chapter 3, where they talk about the rebuilding of the wall. What I want you to notice is how much detail there is. I'm going to read a little selection of it here. Beginning in verse 6, Nehemiah 3 and 6. Joiada, the son of Paseah, and Mushalom, the son of Besodai, repaired the gate of Yeshana. They laid its beams and set its doors, its bolts and its bars, and next to them repaired Melatai the Gibeonite and Jaden the Marianite, the men of Gibeon and of Mizpah, the seat of the governor of the province of beyond the river. Next to them, Uzziel, the son of Hariah, goldsmiths repaired. Next to him, Ananiah, one of the perfumers, repaired. And they restored Jerusalem as far as the broad wall. Next to them, Raphaiah, the son of Hur, ruler of half the district of Jerusalem, repaired. And next to him, Atush, the son of Hashabnai, repaired. And again, it goes on like this, right? So you see that you had these Israelites, they repaired, and they had a section that they worked on. And then next to them, they had others that they knew working on the next section, and then others working on the next section, and so on and so forth. They repaired this wall, working together. And what I want to point out to you is that there's a lot of detail in Nehemiah chapter 3, and there's a lot of detail in here about the people that actually built. The builders' names are all recorded. God saw what each one of them did. It was all recorded here in the scripture, what they built, what they down to the individual things that they placed on the wall. Obviously, here it is recorded in scripture, and it was something that God paid attention to. What they built and their names now appear in the Bible for all to see. In Nehemiah 4:10, we read, "In Judah, it was said, the strength of those who bear the burdens is failing. There is too much rubble. By ourselves, we will not be able to rebuild the wall. And our enemies said, they will not know or see till we come amongst them and kill them and stop the work." So Nehemiah stationed a guard and said, "Do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome. Fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes." There was no retreat. There was a determination to build. I'm going to read for you in Nehemiah chapter 4. Verse 14. Nehemiah 4 and 14. "And I looked and arose and said to the nobles and to the officials and to the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes." Don't be afraid of them. Now, we're talking about people that were murderers, people that wanted to keep them weak so they could murder them more, so they could take what they want, and he's telling them not to be afraid. These people are trying to sneak in amongst them so that with the intent to kill them and to stop the work. And keep in mind, the reason they want to stop the work is because they want to make it easier to kill them later, to take what they want. So these are the worst kind of people. We have these people around today all over the world. They're still here. They want to come in. They want to take. They don't want to work. They want to steal. They want to kill. They want to murder. They don't like what you have to say. They don't like what you have to do. Or sometimes they just want what you have, your worldly goods. But he says here, do not be afraid of them and remember God. There was no retreat. There was only determination to finish, to build, and to restore the wall. The people of God armed themselves, but did not change course. Now, I want us to pay attention to this. They armed themselves, but they did not change course. They did not flee. They did not go find another place where they could protect themselves better. They didn't leave the work and go out and say, well, where could we go to take refuge? Where could we go where would be a better tactical advantage to us? They stayed right there and they kept working. They armed themselves, but they continued to do the work. They incorporated the warfare into their work. They did not trade their work for weapons. They did not slink away. They did not stop the work. They worked with their weapons in their hands. In Nehemiah 4 and 17, it says, those who carried burdens were loaded in such a way that each labored on the work with one hand and held his weapon with the other. The modern Christian faces the same challenges as the men who labored on Jerusalem's wall. We have to fight and we have to build. We're going to be under attack all the time. We have to recognize that. We're going to be under attack all the time, but we can't lose focus on what it is that we're here to do. While we're going to have to fight so that we can build, the purpose is to build. The purpose is not to fight. We're forced to fight so that we can build, but building is the goal. The modern Christian faces the same challenge that those who labored on Jerusalem wall faced, and at a cursory glance, you may say, well, most of what you're talking about, Andy, is in the Old Testament. God did a lot of building in the Old Testament. He commanded a lot of things built. He detailed a lot of buildings. He had a lot of construction take place. But in the New Testament, unlike the Old, we don't see that. It seems to stop building, right? Buildings don't seem as important to God as they used to be. We didn't receive any instruction from the Lord on how to build the building that we're sitting in now. He didn't tell the brethren here what type of wood to use. He didn't tell us how to build the foundation or the slab. He doesn't seem to care. We've said this many times, where we worship, the place that we choose to assemble, it's not material. It could be here, it could be in the parking lot, it could be in a field. So why does it seem like he doesn't care about building things anymore? There are no lampstands, there are no arks, there are no temples. There are no cities he commands for us to build. For us to construct in any of the commandments of the New Testament of Christ or the apostles. But the truth is that the focus and the methods of construction simply shifted with the message. Christians still have to be builders. Now we know the project that God always cared for most, the building of his people. We each must build a very specific portion, just like the sons of Hassanah, just like Zadok, just like Joada, just like Melatai. Each built his piece. Our section of the wall is given to us too. Our section of the wall is ourself. We must be his temple. 1 Corinthians 3:16, do you not know that you are God's temple? And that God's Spirit dwells in you. 1 Corinthians 3:9-15. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building, according to the grace of God given me. Like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. So here we find out what we're supposed to be building now. Right? God's given us a foundation to build upon. It's the only foundation that will hold. It's the only foundation that will work. God's given us the truth. We have the foundation to build on. There are still those, many, who seek to build their own foundations. Builders we are to be. Foundation builders we are not. We have a foundation to start on and build up from. But we can't build our own foundation. If we do build our own foundation, it will not hold. Our building is our Christianity. Our building is our love for God. We choose how to build, the quality of our construction. Will we build with gold and precious stones or cheap materials? Will we build with effort, or will we sit and make do? Continuing in Corinthians 3, it says, "Now if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test the work each has done." Each one of us has our own work, just like they did on the wall. Each of our works will be tested, just like theirs would be. What we choose to build on the foundation that God has given us is up to us. How we choose to build it is up to God. He's told us the right way to build. What we build, only we know. And only we know how we've served God and how we love God. I don't know what anyone else here is building. Honest truth is, I don't know. There's evidence that I can see, that I can honor when I see people loving God, right? But in the end, I don't know what you've built. I don't know why any man here or woman here does what they do. They know. God knows their heart. I don't know their heart. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, what we build, only we know. We know we have to serve God and how we build our building, what materials, what effort we give. But one day, everyone will know. One day, what we build will be revealed. It is difficult because we must fight to build just like the wall builders. As Christians, we're always, always under attack. But it's not enough to say, "I survived." It's not enough to say, "I hid, I retreated, and I survived." This world's not about survival. Our time here is not about survival. We know we're not going to survive this world. It's not a race to see who can live the longest, who can build the most worldly wealth, who can die with the most stuff. In the end, we have to build. We have no temple. We have become a desolation. We must do his work while we defend ourselves from this world. We cannot defend ourselves instead of serving God. In Ephesians 6:10 through 20, we read this. "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil." So many now believe that there are no schemes of the devil. "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and his shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening of my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am ambassador in chains, that I may declare boldly as I ought to speak." Keep alert with all perseverance. That's exactly what they did when they were building the wall. They had to keep alert, and they had to persevere. It wasn't enough just to fend off the raiders. It wasn't enough to fend off the enemies. Too many times we can lose our focus. We're under attack by so many, we can look at defending ourselves as being the point. It's necessary. But the point is to build. That's what we do. We build. The world attacks us constantly through tragedy, through temptation, through selfishness, and through worldliness. We must defeat these enemies so that we can build our temple. Sword in one hand and burden in the other. We are building ourselves every day while under attack. We build ourselves up through loving God, by following his way and not our own, by loving others as ourselves. God tells us and gives us instruction. God gives us his commands. He gives us what He wants for us. He gives us His way. And we build ourselves by following it. The world and Satan don't want us to build. We're under constant attack. We cannot put down our sword to pick up our tools. We cannot put down our burden to pick up our sword. In the end, love is what we have to build with. If we get caught up in defending ourselves from the attacks of the world, if we retreat and hide, if we let the attacks of the world make us stop loving God, then we have lost. One day you will show God what you build. You'll show Him what you did. All of your love, all of your obedience. Brethren, I would ask you this. Build and fight while you can. Build today. Don't wait for tomorrow. Pick up your sword and your burden. Overcome both your fear and your selfishness and build. But remember that everything you build, not on God's foundation, will be washed away. All the efforts that you make in this world that are for this world will not stand. And nothing that you build for yourself will survive. Because in the end, you can't build your own foundation. You can't make your own way. You can't lay your own course. I deal a lot with building. And when you pour the foundation, the bounds of the building are set. You can't build over the ground that's not over the foundation. The bounds of the building are set when you pour the foundation. You can't extend it. You can't decide, well, I'm going to add a room over here. I'm going to add another 100 foot with no foundation. It won't work. If we don't build on the Lord's foundation, nothing we have will survive. Imagine each time you serve God, each time you love God, each time you work for Him, each time that you love your neighbor, each time that you follow His commandment, each time that you care and love Him enough to know His will. You're building this project because you are. What will you present to the master builder in the end? What will you show God? The age of God's builders is far from being over. It's not past. The age of God's builders is now. The question that we all have to ask ourselves each and every day is, what are we building? How are we going to spend our day? Are we going to spend our day building something that God has told us to build? Are we going to spend our day building something for ourselves? In the end, that's the decision that we have to make. If you're here today, if you're here this morning, and you've not begun building, you've not accepted God's foundation. You haven't heard the word. You haven't believed it. You haven't repented of your sin. You haven't been baptized for remission of that sin and begun building. I would ask you to come forward as we sing. I would ask you to let the brethren here know. We'll help you in any way, support you in any way, pray for you. Whatever it is that you need from us, we will be glad to give you. Because we're working next to each other. We're all building together. Each of us has our own work, but we encourage each other, we lift each other up, and we choose to see the Lord's work done because we're all working for Him. I appreciate your time this morning, and that's the lesson.